And then, I mean, there was a lot of shakeups with the company. And then, yeah, I mean, I feel like I just kind of lost touch with everybody.
I feel like I moved to Chicago too, so like that even put me a world away from LA, Santa Barbara world. Like I haven't been back in a long minute too.
Oh, wow.
All that I know left is like Bethany and a friend of mine there, but like everyone always moves away when you go to college there. People
Yeah.
rarely ever stay there, so I was like, oh, this is my town to be in forever. Okay.
And then how long have you been in Chicago now?
About a year now. So
Oh, okay.
I've moved here end of June, like top of July.
How do you like it?
I love it. It is my biggest concern was just the weather. Can I handle the winter? Like, okay, you know what? You brace to a mild winter. I know it's mild. Everyone's gonna roast me. But it's like if you can get through snow, all of that stuff, I'm like, you know what? I love the city. If that's the only con, screw it. Let's
Yeah, run with it.
kind of thing. Yep. It's crazy.
And so and out there too, now you're working with the Creative Network, right?
Yeah. Are you with
That's
Creative
the
Network?
No, I'm not right now. I'm not right now. I just got so much going on with work, like trying to squeeze that in is so tough.
Yeah,
It's
what is your life update? Is this live right now? We gonna get the live.
Oh yeah. We're live. We're live right now. We are live in the smoking section. Yes, we
Okay,
are.
well, the world's gonna know where to you. Okay.
No, I've been working, I've always worked in like trade work, like as an electrician. And then I got this job with this company, and I mean they work me like a dog, which I thoroughly enjoy. Like, let me just work, let me, it keeps me out of trouble, all that shit.
Yeah.
When you work so much, you don't have enough time to spend money. So it's like I just keep the money that I have. But recently they actually let me join a travel group with work. We were installing like on military bases. And so I was traveling all last year doing that. So that was pretty fun. Still dancing,
Yeah.
still crumping, doing my thing.
Yeah.
That's a late night thing, so I at least have that. But
Yeah.
yeah, still crumping.
Dang.
I did a couple events in Florida while I was there, and I got to session with some people from Texas while I was there.
Okay.
So yeah, still just
Yeah.
doing my thing,
Awesome. It's balancing. I feel like when we hit a certain age, it's like, okay, dance can't be our whole lives, or if it doesn't pay for a whole income, how do you balance both worlds? You know, so it's not like you found a formula to pay your cost of living, stay out of trouble, don't spend, put into your family, dance on the side, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I
Love
don't
that.
like I think too, like kind of as we, get big and start taking on big boy girl, like big boy and big girl jobs and all
Yeah.
the shit, like there's still people who I admire, who I really look to as dancers who are kind of barely breaking through to the certain parts of the industry they want to be part of. They're finally getting gigs with certain artists or at certain venues, and they're like 36, 37, and I'm like, okay, I got a lot of time to still and just enjoy this. Like, no need to
Right.
pressure. No need to pressure.
You got to enjoy it first because it's, you know, like I think a lot of people get away with careers that they don't love, but it pays well. Dance is like something like for you to stick it through past 5, 10 plus years, you got to love
Yeah,
it.
you really gotta
That's
love
just not going to pay you well.
it. And
You know, we'll try to change it, but yeah.
it's cool too to see kind of some more of the stuff that you've been getting into too. Like the recent podcast clips I've seen of you were really cool. Those were really cool.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. That's how you reached out to me. And I was like, it was, I looked up our chat. I was like, oh my gosh, you even asked me 2 years ago. I totally forgot. I don't know if you remember that. I was like, you still do your podcast? Like, I didn't even see your podcast anywhere. So yeah, I think I'm kind of ready to receive that. I want to go full force of podcast. Like I've done podcast test runs in the past, but I've never like, all right, this is the thing I'm gonna commit to week in and week out, rain or sunshine. We're gonna turn out of something. So yeah, I think that podcast for me was really like, okay, this is something, it feels so organic and natural for me that I really want to see where this goes, kind of thing.
Yeah, like when I was wa when well, even when I was watching, I was like, she seems so fluid, like while she's doing this, like this just seems like it's just happening. Sometimes like there's certain podcasts that I've watched and listened to where I can kind of tell like some of the stuff people really like prepared for like really, really hard, which is cool. Like it's a cool part of their craft, but
right.
I don't know. There's also a certain feel that I like when people are just kind of smooth, kind of going off the hip with it.
It feels manufactured.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know.
Everybody matters.
Everybody has their own thing.
I think it's also just like knowing like, A, what kind of podcast you want, B, you know, what kind of audience are you trying to hit? You know, like I know for him, he was trying to go for the casual vibe. He's not trying to, it's a homey feeling. It's not like, you know, CBS, Welcome to Our Correspondents type of feeling. You're hitting a certain kind of crowd demographic for that. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. You want to come across professional and expert, you know? So I'm the same way. I like to vibe where it's a little bit more casual and there's organic conversation and flow. It's like I call it spiritually smoking a blunt.
Yeah.
You know, passing the metaphorical blunt.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
If you were to start a podcast today, what do you think you would base it around? Or do you think you'd have a topic?
I don't know if I have a specific topic, but I know I think for me, the hard thing is I want to talk about everything. And so it's like deciding what kind of specific clumps of things I want to talk about. And I know I want to talk in an umbrella sense about intimacy and really connecting back to human connection. I think we've lost the soul of anything we do, like literally anything from cooking to brushing teeth, to walking, to work life, to education, to whatever. So it's like, how do you bring back that soul element and how do you find the nuance and the critical thinking in things? I think we don't know how to think critically. We just are critical of people.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
That was a mouthful. That was a lot.
That's the shower thought. I'm like, wait a minute.
That was a lot. Yo. And I think for like the better part of the last few years, everyone has been so like niche based with everything that they do. Like they want to be super, super niche based, which is fine. Like I never want to knock somebody's tactic to how they do their do.
Right.
But you know, if you just want to talk about whatever, that's what I do. I just, I tell everybody I have cool friends that do cool stuff and I like talking to them. So, So, you know, you're doing some really cool stuff. You're doing like, I'm telling you, even shout out the Treehouse podcast because of your clip, I looked through all their stuff. I was like, I was like, this is so rad. I'm a true fan. I'm a real fan out here. Like I'm a real fucking fan of y'all out here.
I chatted with him. I was like, he really put his effort and his grind into it to build that up. You know, like I think he's one of the rare people I've come across where you really speak about consistency. Cause I think a lot of people, like that's what made me so hesitant to start a podcast. Like everyone's trying to start a podcast here, podcast there, but which is fine. It's beautiful if you're doing it purely for like expression, joy, fun, hobby. But if you're trying to go for business and you're trying to make like an actual business thing out of this, you need to be able to consistently go in and go out day in and day out, whether you like it or not, that you have to commit to it. There's no one yelling at you to do it. And so I think his work speaks for that. It's like you put in the grind for, I think it was like 2+ years you've done it to get to the level of like community that he has to speak through. And like just talking to him, there's so much strategy to it. So yeah, it's the business versus the art. And you have to know why you're doing it and which part of are you doing it, you know? So if you're doing it for funsies, great. If it gives you spiritual wholeness, if it gives you, you know, connection and networking to people, great. If it's a business thing, that's a whole different mindset to get into to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, honestly, like when I first started this, like I was like, I've told people a few times, like it was just I was going through a rough part in life and I needed to put my thoughts down on wax. And then I remember letting a couple people listen to some and then they're like, yo, you should make a podcast out of this. I was like, okay. So I just
that's so real.
So I still try to treat it the same way. I try to treat it the same way, like I am just talking into the void. And whoever listens, and it's okay. Like, that's always kind of been my, even like with dance, like I'm gonna just do me. And if somebody rocks with it, they rock with it.
Yeah.
As long as I'm cool with it, I'm cool.
Yeah. And I feel like what I'm hearing from you is like, this is your therapy. right? Mm-hmm. Even your energy you give me right now, and if what I've gotten to know you is like you're naturally more introverted, it feels like. So you can reclude into your thoughts, and this helps you externalize it in a space that feels conducive and like productive versus destructive. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it is. It doesn't have to be this following whatever fuck. Like if that's the thing that gives you soul, cool. Fuck everybody
Well,
else.
matter of fact, me and a couple of my boys, we do a Tuesday podcast, and we get in there and we mansplain shit. Like, we get in there and we
Okay, I'll
mansplain some
explicitly
stuff.
acknowledge it.
We mansplain some stuff and we bounce these ideas around. And one day we were talking about like red flags and stuff, right? And it got into a really deep therapy session. And I had a couple people message me and they're like, yo, we'd love for you to have a girl come on and talk about this. And so when I seen that clip of you on that podcast, I was like, oh, this is perfect timing. So I did like, 'cause you were even talking about it earlier too, like how we're losing like human connections, right? And that is kind of something that like I wanted to make sure I did on this. Because this really all started during like the pandemic. And so being able to talk to my buddies like in North Carolina or over here, New Zealand, like, dude, how are you? Like, how's the lockdown going, bro? Like, and at least we could see each other and talk and have this conversation. And so like I did want to pick your brain a little bit though about how like how you see how human connection is nowadays. 'Cause I feel like it hasn't felt the same in a while. Like pre-pandemic type shit.
No. Well, I think it's both. You made me go, me my brain go into like three rabbit holes. I'm like, which one a tangent?
Let's walk them.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that too, because part of what I have in my conversation with my friend was that I have a lot of thoughts that can feel controversial because we're in this time of like everything is very PC'd, everything's packaged into a certain way so we don't offend people. But there is a lot of truth in like, if we're coming from like gender binary type of thing or, more heterosexual way, there's a guy's experience and there's a woman's experience. And I think a lot of let's talk crack about the other space that we don't know how to acknowledge our own doing and contribution that causes that hurt or pain or whatever it is, and so if you want to talk from a dating perspective, or you want to talk about dating or like human connection in general, because that's two different scopes of
Let's start with dating. I think that's going to be the
knowledge.
easiest for
Okay.
everybody.
I think with dating, if you mentioned like pandemic stuff, I think pandemic has poked a core in realizing the void that we've been avoiding since pre-pandemic. Because now you have the first time in your life to sit with your own emotions. You literally cannot escape it. Or you try to escape it with social media, TV shows, video games, whatever vice you want to pick. And then even then that's not enough because you're still stuck in a box for months after months. You still can't do certain things. You can't see certain friends. Some you're forced to deal with the fact that something you anticipated is now canceled. Someone in your life died. Someone's in the hospital. Like there's just so many things you're forced to deal with your emotions on overdrive. So there's a lot of surfacing of that. So you have two types of crowds in a high level that is able to tap into their soul now in a way that they never had. And it took something as dramatic as a pandemic to realize that consciousness. Or they go the opposite extreme when they're like, oh my God, ew, emotions. Let's avoid even harder. Let's find all the technology, all the mechanisms, all the vices, all the escapisms to create a happier external life, but I'm still very broken inside. So I think you have these two extremes. You have in and even in that space, you have the extreme of like there's a consciousness that's being awoken in us on like a macro level where like, wow, there's so many wrong in this world. George Floyd, anti-Asian hate, Me Too movement, blah blah. That's pretty pandemic. But you know what I mean? It's like the spiraling the domino effect of all these things happen. So you have a lot of people that are you're we're we have people now that are coddled to handling the truth and don't know how to handle resilience, right? I think we see sensitivity as, I think it's beautiful that we are more sensitive because of the pandemic, and we understand how to recognize we're hurting someone better. But now it's gone to the extreme where we don't know how to reconcile with struggle and resilience and how to overcome that. How do we build compassion and resilience? And they have other people that are like, emotions, ew. We want hyper resilience. Pandemic, we can override this. Let's work even harder. Let's work, you know, like the next level of whatever. So we take that kind of context into a dating context. You just have so many different values of what people want, but yet we still don't know how to communicate. Like through this experience of pandemic and just through the type of life we live in America and the values are built in American values, you don't know how to communicate. What do you fundamentally want as a person? What do you fundamentally value as a person? What are your deal breakers? What do you prefer? What do you don't prefer? What complements you as a person? I think we just create what used to be just one social norm that you had to follow and it's your choice to just go against it. Now there's like 3-4 social norms because we have so many digital communities that feels like that is the norm. But no, that's just the mainstream norm in your space. And so if you're trying to date with other spaces and other generations that have different values, it's just like a pot of question marks.
Too, there's been a weird, because from a guy's perspective, you know, I think that there's been a weird shift in this idea of like when we're talking to somebody, there's all these other, there's these labels that come along with like a certain standard that we might set, you know, and I've seen that too. And I've seen it from a woman's view, but I can't really speak on it the same way. Right. But for like guys, it's like, well, if I don't want a girl that's, you know, who's been a chronic cheater in the past, right. I could be called a certain shaming, or if I don't want somebody who behaves in a certain lifestyle, I can be called shaming. Right. And I think that people are kind of gotten out of this touch of like, no, like we got to have standards for ourselves too. Like, you know what I mean? We're, I should be understanding of your life. I should be, you know, compassionate and say, you know, hey, you got to go through your own trials and tribulations to figure out who you are as a person. But doesn't mean I got to date you. Like,
gotta
tolerate it. Yeah. It doesn't mean I got to date you, fam. Like, we could be cool. Like, we could be friends and all that. Like, we can all go on a picnic, but I know boundaries has been a big thing, and it was something that we talked about on the podcast. Is like, if people can't set boundaries for each other, like, how do we even really know
that part?
Like, how do I know that you actually like me if I can't tell you no? Like, no, don't do that. Like,
right,
if I can't say that to you, how do I know that you actually respect me? Type of feel.
And I think I talk about that with a lot of the other podcasts. It's like, I think a lot of women don't know how to set boundaries. We're very socialized and trained to people please. And so we're not allowed to feel what we want, to recognize what we want first and have the balls to say it out loud to the other person and communicate that. And so I think we all, there's a beauty to a lot of women who are naturally more empathetic from just being taught as a kid to be caring and deal with more shenanigans than they should be putting up with. But it's showing you, like, why are you allowing yourself to put up with so much shit in the first place? And they see them as being a bad person versus you saying no to wrong things is giving yourself self-love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if we've grown more since back then, whatever back then feels like as women. I feel like it's just more, I think we're in this time as a society where we're building awareness on a mainstream level, but we haven't crossovered enough to, are we consistently acting on this new awareness now? that's a bridge that takes a lot of healing to get to that point. And the reality is, like, there's always shit hitting us in the fucking fan all day long. So to ask of that of everyone in society, that's really a hard task. It's beautiful if it can happen, but, like, on a real note, to bank for that is a really hard ask. So what we can do at least is find the community and find the social circle that is going to emulate what we value, and find the right partner for you that is going to reflect that, you know, like, I'm a very quirky, unconventional person. I hunt and I have high standards, like, but that took a while to get to that point. Like, there are times I've lowered my standard because I was just lonely or I was just, you know, wanting affection or whatever fuck. But it, listen, when y'all lonely,
it happens. Lord,
who are you?
Mm-hmm. Turn into different people.
Listen, so, you know, it's like I spent 2 years plus not dating at all. Like, no kissing, no sex, no dating apps, no entertaining who, what DMs. I have perfected the platonic, like, good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Best to go. But it could help me get clear about, like, what are my boundaries? Who am I? What do I actually value? And yes, we're having these conversations about, you know, what is a good partner? What's a good, what do I like? What do I value? All these things. But I think people are like, what to look out for. But there's times I think we look out for only like big red flags. Mm-hmm. We wait for the big red flag to be like, oh, no. That's my boundaries. It's like, no, you have to be able to read people as such, like, from the day you met them and you observe every tiny behavior about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Those little signs is what actually tells you about what they will do to you in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. The it's like pieces. They're like little pieces of the big red flag. Like, all these little actions and all these little things that they, you know, they say it so naturally out of their mouth. You catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, huh, I wonder what she meant by that. You know what I mean? Like, what did she really mean by that little statement? Or maybe it was just like a disrespectful remark to somebody. And you start, mm-hmm. I mean, I watch for stuff like that, like first dates and second dates. I usually have a pretty good feel if I'm like you.
Right. And it's very energetic. You have to be able to read that subconscious part of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hurt and you're not healed, you will take those observations and make assumptions going, you know, they don't open the door for me. They're a bad man. Evil. Mm-hmm. Cancel him. Whatever, like, assumption they want to create. Or it could just literally be, you know, he was in the middle of paying the parking valet guy. Didn't have mm-hmm. a chance to open the door for you. Or, like, you already opened it. I don't want to, like, shove my body to you. Whatever it is, it's like, for me, it's like I take it as observations. Mm-hmm. I will note that thing. It's mm-hmm. in my brain.
mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch you. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to assume how you're moving necessarily. I'm just taking the notes and I'm looking for a pattern.
Yeah.
Is this general thing? I see this pattern of good or bad behavior or not even good or bad. Is it compatible with what I want? Because you can be a great guy. You're just not compatible for me. We just don't vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, you're great in the other direction. Like, you know, like, you're right. Great, good person, but I'm going this way and you're going that way. And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing too. Like, I've seen a lot of good people get into two really good people get into a really bad relationship with each other because there's certain parts of their personality that they exemplify in each other. But then there's also the other parts of their personality that just don't mesh. Like, it's not mixing. And I think we get confused of, yeah, you might experience this person for a little while and there's a part of your connection that's good, but there's like, maybe we might need to put this down. You know what I mean? You might need to put this down and walk away while everybody's still good. You know, it's okay to walk away while you're still up, dude.
Amicable.
You don't have to lose this person. You shouldn't have to lose this person as a friend to prove a point. You know what I mean? Like, to prove the point that we can make it work or whatever people be saying these days. You know, I don't try to get too mixed up in all that. Yeah. If it's flowing, it's going to me. Like if it's flowing, it's going. If it's not, I'm okay. I'm okay. I gotta keep it stepping.
Yeah. I just started seeing someone recently and we're like pretty new in our dating dynamic.
How that?
Yeah, I'm like, am I not a my little reborn virgin phase of dating anymore? Hilarious. But yeah, that's the, kind of what you said. It's like a confirmation from me when I got back to dating was like, it shouldn't have to feel hard to date each other. Mm-hmm. You can have hard situations and work through that. But with each other, it shouldn't be so difficult to mesh. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people either want the perfect, like, so I learned from Jay Shetty, I think it was like chemistry versus connection versus compatibility. Mm. So the chemistry is the instinctive, like energetic flow. We're just having a conversation. It just feels right. Like we just click and it could be platonic, romantic, whatever, co-workers, whatever. The connection is like, are we having that emotional bond? Like, is our vibe flowing? Is our values flowing? Kind of thing. And compatibility is, does our life make sense together? Or is our lifestyle making sense together? So I think you have people that are really caught up in like the perfect compatible person. They check all the boxes, you know, six-figure picket fence, lawyer, makes parents happy. It's going to fit my image of life perfectly. But there's mm-hmm. no chemistry going on here. But you're trying to force this like square and a circle to fit together. And it's mm-hmm. just not fitting. So like, you're trying so hard to make it work, but I'm like, it's not working. Like you have to accept you're not compatible for each other,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or you get the people, I feel like this is the drug of our today's dating world is like chemistry, connection. We're vibing, we're flowing. Let's fuck, let's do things. Let's have hangouts and stuff. And we have all these situationships, but we lack the ability or the willingness to commit for the long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you both came in as just like sex buddies, casual buddies, situationship, whatever. You've never explicitly created the conversation and dialogue of what is this going to look like? Do we make sense long-term? We mm-hmm. vibe well short-term. Does this make sense over years, over life? Where are you trying to go? Where are you trying to move? What's your career look like? Do you want family? Do you want kids? All of this stuff. You don't have those conversations. So after a certain point of that utopia phase, now you're trying so hard to make this shit work. It's like, no, your life don't make sense.
Yeah.
Daytime, you nighttime. You know, you are a go-getter, want to be out and about, and you quiet as hell, which is fine. Like, there's a certain level of, like, you have to find complementary opposites that balance each other out, but you have to know when is it too extreme that it just doesn't make sense together.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you know your hardcore, like, out of this giant list of what I want, what are the core things I need to have to even be in this relationship?
Absolutely.
So, and out of that core five traits, other things that I'm like, so I want to deal with this. Is that something these four or five things are worth it enough to deal with those other things?
Yeah. Yeah, because there is some definitely non-negotiables, you know what I mean, that you got to be able to have. Yeah, you know, and even then, like, it's very true. I think that, oh God, it was such a bar. I got to remember this stuff. We are so used to, like, the hookup culture kind of got normalized. Hookup culture got normalized. And yeah, there's stopped being the conversation of what does this look like a few years down the road? You know, everyone hits you with, oh, I'm just vibing, or I just want to see where this goes. Like, yeah, that's literally what I'm asking. Like, where do you think you see this going? Like, I'm literally asking you. And
that's a question.
Like, sorry, I'm not going to get in a car with somebody who's driving blindfolded. So you darn not making me feel safe in this space right now, you know? So no thank you. No thank you. Yeah. I need to have, you know, at 30 years old, I need to kind of know where you see your life going, you know? If you don't have kids by now, do you want kids? You know, like,
That's a great question.
You know what I mean? And it's okay. Like, I feel like people are afraid to hear the tough answers to tough questions, and that's something that we got to get used to, you know? Yeah. Ask the tough questions, get used to tough answers. You know, appreciate and respect the honesty. I don't know what it is about culture these days, but I feel like we've just accepted dating as such a normal, like the idea of breaking up with somebody is just normal. Like, it's just normal. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to get into a relationship, why not take it fucking serious? You know, like, I think people go in with the idea of like, oh, well, we could just break up. Like, dude, that's a really mm-hmm. bad mindset to have to me.
I'm thinking multiple things. It's what age group we're talking about, because that changes drastically. Your early 20s struggles is different from early 30s struggles. You know what I mean?
True.
I've dated a lot older people. I tend to date older people. And mm-hmm. I already have those real conversations like, you got kids. Do I see myself being a stepmother? Or, you know, am I okay with dealing with the step families that comes with it? Am I okay with, you know, generational differences? Am I okay with you're already set in your career and I'm still found my career, et cetera, et cetera. It's a different conversation that you will have in the early 20s.
That's true. Very
more
true.
Like, will you hang with me past 2 days a week? That's a different, you know what I mean? And it's not right or wrong. It's just, I think it's just understanding contextually what are we dealing with. That's one part of it. I think the other part of it is, I think it's not wrong to want to have more sex positive culture. Yay. And I'm glad we have more liberty and range now, right?
Sure.
The issue is we don't know how to communicate truthfully. What do we want?
If that's all we want. Yeah, that's a
problem. And being able to accept that that is what you want. I am not for you and I'm going to walk away. And I think mm-hmm. we are still, if you say, I just want a casual thing, or I just want fuck buddies, whatever it is, I need to understand that's all this is going to be. Until we have the conversation, this is going to be something more. You can't be getting emotionally attached and expecting something more. Or mm-hmm. if you're on a first date or you're Tindering, whatever it is, it's like, oh, I'm just looking for something casual. You can't assume he's a bad guy because he wants that casually. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women tend to see, because he wants something casual, not a relationship, therefore he's a bad guy. It's like, no, he's just not in a time where he wants a serious relationship, or he's just not healed enough for a relationship, whatever it is. We being able to see the nuance of that, something that isn't what I want doesn't mean they're a bad thing. It just isn't what I want. I have to be able to discern what is it that I want and look for things that I want mm-hmm. And not shame the things that aren't like me. This is where we get mm-hmm. into too much, like, you know, so many sub niche cultures that think they're entitled, that the world should operate just for their world when they're just want a certain thing. That's fine to want your thing, but how do we coexist with our different wants? Mm-hmm. So part of it is, okay, that's beautiful. We have a more sex positive range culture. How do we also make sure our culture is acknowledging and building people that can be ready for relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Have that fun. But if this is what you want in a relationship, how do we get you there? If you don't want it, then fine by me. I'm not going to force it on you. That's your time in your life. You're young. You're exploring. You're learning the trials and tribulations of what it means today, what it means to be a person. What does it mean to be grown? What does it mean to provide? Like, all these abstract questions you're figuring out. If you in this bracket of life where you're trying to get down, get serious, all right, then let's talk.
Yeah.
You know how to be in a relationship. Have you studied it and researched it and practiced it and exercised these things to prep you for a relationship? Because it's not just going to magically happen the second you go in a relationship. You have to already be practicing these values and these behaviors so that you're ready for the relationship. And I think that might be the struggle you might be experiencing at your point in your life, where you're like, we're the woman that's ready to commit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might be meeting people that are at the phase in their life where, like, I want something meaningful enough that we're together. And that's my definition of relationship means. It's just we're exclusive.
Yeah,
you have to look for the people that want a relationship. That's your definition of what a relationship means for you. And it sounds like you want a life partner. You want something that's full commitment, soul connected, we in it thick and thin type of vibe. That's a different kind of a definition of a relationship. And right now in this world, we don't got different words to mean different things. It's just relationship casual. You're like, All right. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't do another. I just can't. I don't care. Like, favorite color. Okay, cool. Like, dude, what's your 401k look like? What are we talking about? Retirement plans? Like, do you plan on living here for the next 10 years? Because I got a 10-year plan, honey. Like, I can't. I'm not wasting no more time. Like, when it comes to stuff like that, I'm not interested. Not interested in it.
Which is fine. It's exhausting to find a date in today's world sometimes. That is very fair. I did like 3 weeks of Hinge and I was like, I think I'm good. This is a lot of effort.
Yeah, it's too much effort for me right now.
Yeah.
It's too much. Like, I was at the bar. I was at the bar recently and this girl starts talking to me, and so we're talking, and you should let me get your Instagram. I was like, please no. I just remember I was like, please no. She's like, what? What's wrong? I was like, just no. Oh, you have a girlfriend. I was like, no, just please no. Like, this is fun. This is cool right here. Like, just please. I don't know. No, thank you. Please no.
Yeah.
I just.
Are you still based in Central Coast area?
Yeah, here in Oxnard. Yeah, I'm still
here
in Oxnard.
This is why I left Central Coast area, because it was a struggle. Like, my trauma I picked up from South Santa Barbara. Oh, I was like, I'm good. There's no one proper to date that's for me and my type. I'm good.
Yeah,
which is a real struggle.
I just feel like right now, like, I don't know if it's just the freedom of everybody being back out and like here, like right here, especially, it's just like it's too scary. Wild. It's just too wild. I'm cool off that, fam. No way. If there was something that you wish that you could look at younger you and tell yourself about, like love and kind of like the things you've went through, like what is something that you wish you could tell her?
I think don't chameleon yourself just to get affection.
Ooh.
I'm very good at chameleoning myself to make the person feel loved. I know how to read people very well, so I can already tell you like I can already read the coreness of you. You like this, you're fearful of this, this is your deep motive, this is your pursuit better than you can even articulate yourself. So I subconsciously know how to shift. Oh, literally, like, woo! I used to make people cry by accident because I was just like, oh, this to me is so normal. You know what I mean? To confront your truth. Mother's nice. So, yeah, I used to, oh my God, shapeshift myself to God knows what to so that they feel like they're having a great ass time, great ass date, great ass engagement, when really it was a very curated version of me. It's still me, but it's a curated version of me for them. Mm-hmm. And then after many times, it's like I start losing myself because my full authentic whole version of me can't come out consistently with you. I'm always monitoring myself of how much of myself or which version of myself is coming out. And that's like what got me to pretty much stop dating and like hardcore cold turkey not date for a while, because I was like, ooh, stand up for men. I can't. I can't do it anymore. This is, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore half the time. Yeah, I think it's definitely the drug of people pleasing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was definitely one. And I can't remember, like, it was like one of my sisters or somebody I heard saying it was like saying the amount of your self-sacrifice, the amount of your self-sacrifice won't make them love you anymore, but will only cause you to love yourself that much less.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy smokes, holy smokes. And I did realize that with the past, like, I kind of like had to do a little deep dive and do some unpacking on the relationships I've been in. And it was like, yeah, I get into this thing of like people please. And then in the end of it all, I get very resentful and all this stuff. And then start questioning myself, like, oh, how could you be so, you know, ignorant or blind? And it's like, you don't need to, I don't need to do that to my, like, I mean, people go through it, you know what I mean? But like, I just try to tell people, like, don't be so heavy on yourself for being you, like for being in your element. If that's the way you love somebody and you give, you know, like, yeah, learn your limitations, but don't be mad at yourself for not having them at the time. Like you had to go through that to learn, have, you know,
that part. That is like my entire ex dynamic. I was very great guy, but like did not know how to be a partner at all. It's like great business guy, great friends, great intellectual. What is tenderness, grace, patience, affection? You know, yeah, it was very controlling energy sometimes. And it was like, naturally, when you're a people pleaser, you like allow yourself to be controlled eventually. And yeah, I remember just resenting him for a long time because it was like, you don't even allow me to feel and express what I'm frustrated with you about. And I'm letting myself, like I'm end up walking on tiptoes constantly to be like, am I going to make you, did I upset you? Are you happy now? Like it becomes like a drug to make this person feel happy. Like he's never happy with me. He's always upset with me. He's always criticizing me until you finally hit a moment of like, I did it. He's like happy. The one little affirmation I've been trying to get out of him, you know, it's like I had to go through those lows and like take the really long time, like years of not dating to really be hyper aware of like, just even outside of dating, like in friendships and social dynamics, like when is that part of me coming out again? To recognize it and not lean into it, you know? And it, even just this guy I'm seeing right now is like, I was asking his family, I was like, would you be okay with that? What are your thoughts on that? He's like, no, don't like, well, who cares what I fucking think? Like, don't ask for my permission. Like, do it because you want to fucking do it. And that was just so refreshing. And it was like, this is why I'm dating you. Hey, first of all, you don't call my ass out. Like, don't be people pleasing. For me, for what? Like, do it because you want to do it. You know, consider me. But like, this is the thing. The thing you're asking me now does not need my consideration. This is like completely your life, your preference type of thing. It's not like we're. It's not like a let's move in together type of conversation where you're involved in that decision making. And to also be like, you know. Because you easily could have used that situation to start the pattern of let's get his approval on certain things or things aren't good enough until he's okay with it. And that was like, I fuck with you. Okay, listen. It was great. I probably wasn't saying the other thing. But it's the real moment. Like, okay, you're a grown-ass man. You can stay.
I like that. He brings a smile to your face. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good. That's a blessing. Yeah, no, like it's good. It is. I am really happy that you're able to come and do this because, I grew up in a house of sisters and I disagree with them about a bunch of shit, but I still think that it's good to always have the dialogue between guys and gals. Right, speaking from their own experiences, because I feel too like I've been seeing more podcasts of it these days, but I feel like they're always like hyper violent, like they're very violent conversations.
Hyper femme too.
It's like always, but it's always these dudes. It's always these dudes coming after these chicks, and it's like, bro, like relax. Like there's no reason to talk this way. Like you could prove a point. And not have to talk this way. And I know some of it's, you know, an act for the camera and blah, 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 blah. But I think these conversations are good. They're not only productive and healthy, but I think it just helps people make their own decisions. You know, when you're hearing it from both perspectives, because you can say, oh, because how you said right now, like considering other people is a big thing to me. Like if you're always taking into consideration, you know, how I'm feeling and things like that, like I will definitely address it and be like, you don't have to please me, right? But I appreciate that you're considering me in these decisions. Like you're considering how I would feel.
Yeah.
And so like these conversations, I hope people can start considering more, even for guys. Like, dude, consider how your girl feels, bro, when you're making certain moves or when you're planning certain things. Consider it, you know. If she's got a shellfish allergy, can be considerate, bro. Don't take her to Red Lobster for dinner. That's not where date night goes.
Ooh, that part. Yeah. It's just like basic, I think, basic human empathy that we lack, I feel like, in the dating scene a lot. It's like, I don't want to say that, because you have overly considerate people because they don't know how to have their own self-love and have boundaries of when. That's actually a great point, is people that are overly considerate, is it's a beautiful thing in a utopian sense, but really what it's telling me is that you have a hard time discerning, has someone earned that type of love?
Ooh.
If you're just giving it out like buffet level to anybody and everybody, it's beautiful in theory, but it's the hard reality that a lot of people are fucked up. And you have to be able to discern, have they earned your trust?
Mm-hmm.
I can give everyone a certain level of love, like let's just say level 2. You know, you get a hug, you get a little goodie bag because I brought a bag of candies for Halloween. You get a candy. Like the consequence for me and the effort on me is low. You show me something, and it's not transactional. It's more of like you inspiring me, that you're showing me your character, and you're showing me you're showing me signs of appreciation or output or character that's inspiring me to want to give you something or show love for you in a certain kind of way, and let that build. But there's a growth point where beneath all that's happening, as you're proving to each other that you deserve this type of love, and I want to give you that love versus I'm supposed to give you that love. You know, so I think a lot of hyper-considerate people, it's not really coming from a place of, I love you and I want to show love to you. It's coming from a place of, I'm fearing I'm not loved. And so let me outpour it like crazy. Just so I have like residual, like net 20% of people that are going to stick by because they've given to 100 people.
Yeah. I was telling one of the buddies the other night, you know, that type of stuff will, that type of feeling of the fear of not being loved and stuff will have you putting people in positions that they did not earn. And, you know, the worst part about, you know, a lot of people is that we don't know how to discern the idea of where somebody sits in my life and where I sit in theirs, and the role I play in their life versus the role they play in mine. And you can set yourselves up. And this is where guys and gals all the time, you know, they break up with their boyfriends and girlfriends and they have nowhere to go. They have, you know, their life had became so consumed by, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. They don't have anything. There's no difference. And you've put this person in a position in your life to take away so much at a blink of an eye where it wasn't quite the same on the other side. You know what I mean? And people got to be, you know, just be mindful. I hate to tell people to not love the way that they give it, right? But you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you're not setting yourself up for failure, for sure.
Yeah. It's like a lot of hard balance of knowing, am I giving too much or am I not giving enough? Like a lot of these things just really come down to, it's like, how well do you know yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And how secure are you really in your, how secure are you really? You know what I mean? Because everything, when you, all these like talks, conversations about dating and society and, you know, this discourse, you have the squad of people that they're doing too much of this. We got to be more like this. Or they're doing too little of this. We got to do more of this. It's like, and then you hit a point of like, which one to take? which path is the path? And like the hard, you get to a point where the real truth is, nothing is ever black and white. Nothing is ever binary. So everything is nuanced. Everything is gray. And how do you know which one's the right decision to make at what that exact point for that context? That's hard because no one can give you that answer. You have to know yourself enough, have a right intuition enough, be intuitive enough, be self-aware enough, trust your character. Are you acting on right character to do that said thing? I have to be able to know at what moment this person's not healthy for me. I'm not giving you my love. It's not that I'm going to be unloving to you. You're just going to get a ceiling of my love. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person's great. I need to be aware. Am I taking too much of your love and I'm not giving it back? Am I checking mm-hmm. myself hard enough to make sure I'm watering that pot too with you? You know, so mm-hmm. even for myself, I have to be aware of like, when am I leaning too much into what can be selfish or narcissistic? And when am I being too self-doubting and people-pleasing? And it's just this like pendulum of like, okay, we're just trying to get stay in the secure spot. Let's just make sure.
I have a serious problem with being a giver, and I'm really trying to figure out my balance with that. I like to think that I'm a loving person. I like to think that I'm a nice person, and I hope people can resonate when I say my love would be the moonlight, right? And the one that I want to love, I want to treat like the moon. So where the world can feel my love, feel the love for me. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to greet every person that I see. I want to be able to have, you know, conversations with anybody I come into contact with. I never want to be seen as a mean or hateful person. But the person that I treat with a certain level of love is going to be the thing that radiates what I do. You know what I mean? And that's the way I want to look at the next person that I really decide to try to date is they radiate the things that I try to do in life, right? They have those qualities. It radiates off of them. It's undeniable. Like, I don't have to guess. Like, I don't have to wonder, you know, I really want to be able to see it through and through. Cause I like to think that I wear my feelings and my emotions on my sleeves pretty well, which might not always be a good thing either though. Not always be a good thing either though. Hey, you know, we can work on that together.
Yeah. When you say radiate your light, like you're saying the values you want in a person's radiating off of that person.
Mm-hmm. The qualities, yeah. The, you know, people.
Yeah.
Oh, I want, you know, people say, oh, you know, I want to date somebody who's educated, right? Or they want to work on their education. But then they get upset that their boyfriend or girlfriend are loaded with classes every semester. But that's the kind of thing I want to see. I want you to be so busy. I want you to be busy as hell. And if you can make a little bit of time for me, that's great. That's where love lies. But all that, that's what I want to see. I want to see those type of things radiating off of them. Not just something that they speak. Not something, I want to do this.
That's not the actions, but the words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is where the observation comes in. I'm watching you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying about your heart on your sleeve, wearing your heart, what? I feel like I'm interviewing you now. I'm a really curious person too. So it's like helping me understand where you are at in your life. Is you what is the consequence or tension you're feeling with wearing your heart on your sleeve?
I think the worst problem that I've had with it is those emotions being shown, right? Whether it's frustrated or I'm feeling concerned, sad, whatever. They've never landed well on the dice. Always like used later on in conversation of like, you're too emotional or you get too mad or X, Y, and Z. Like, you know what I mean? And you know, though I may have a temper, though I may have a temper, I don't get mad all the time. So the things that I'm getting mad over, let's please focus on that because there's something there. Like there's something there where like boundaries are getting crossed, you know.
Let me know too if I'm getting too invasive with you. I'm just plucking this because I think it's a real thing that I think is a thing not talked about enough, is about men's feelings. Mm-hmm. It gets stuck at layer one versus the deeper parts of what comes with the reality of we want an emotional guy with such other feelings. All right, here it is. I'm gonna deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're a perfect, beautiful example of that. Let's peel the layers if you're open to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, do you believe when they say that you're too emotional? Or do you think you are a healthy dose of emotions and they are unable to receive it?
I think a little bit of both. I think that what I've learned to tell myself is that my emotions operate on a certain bandwidth, and they may just not have the bandwidth to receive that. There has been parts of me where I know was unhealthy, right? Like, oh my God, like just thinking about things I've gotten mad over now that like seriously make no sense. Like I mean, obviously it doesn't matter now. But there was things that, there was things I should have walked past, or there was things that I put up with trying to be a people pleaser. There was things that I put up with that I shouldn't have because that I did, though, it led into other insecurities and other things that pour onto other people. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of both. I won't lie.
Which is good, though. Like, that's part of accepting this is who I am. Like,
yeah,
I'm very blunt. Like, there's a great part of me and there's a shadow parts of me. You mm-hmm. you just have to know you're pushing my shadow side. Let me walk away real quick so you can catch my light side. And I think that's part of, like, you know, the journey. I think in your position is when you are an emotional guy, there's a lot of women that want an emotionally in touch guy. There's a lot of girls that think they want it and they don't know how to receive it because mm-hmm. they don't even know how to process their emotions. Mm-hmm. So I think you're at a point. Hi, motorcycle. They're at a point where I'm gonna go by the motorcycle. It's right there. Okay. My house on the literal public street, the main street. I was like, all right, I'll sleep through this. But I think you're at a point where I think a lot of girls have to unpack toxic femininity just as much as men have to unpack toxic masculinity, right? And most of men's arc is, how do I get more touch with my feelings? You're in a unique position where your arc is similar to toxic femininity. It might be shown as toxic masculinity, but you have the coreness where you have overflow of feelings. Mm-hmm. And how do I manage this? And so if you're a girl and you're not a woman, you don't know how to receive that. And it's just like war on warfare.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of manipulative women out there that don't realize how conniving they can get with their emotions. And I've experienced it just being, you know, femme spaces. I'm very mask and femme. So it's like when I got my bros and guys, I got my femmy femmes, but it's like,
I know Jazz is the homie.
You know, Jazz and that's probably why. I think that's why I understand guys, because it's like, I'm actually around guys. It's like when you're not around the people, you have a perception of who they are versus who they actually are. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I've been a range of fucking men to understand the life for them when it comes to trying to find a girl, how to get the girl and maintain the girl.
Yeah.
Keep the girl. Oh my God. They're all three different stages of struggle, you know? So it's like when you are grown, like, you know, when you see that, it's like, ooh, that's sexy. Like, you actually mm-hmm. know how to articulate your feelings. You actually know how to express it. You actually know how to monitor yourself when you're, like, about to hit your ceiling and step away. So it's not going to be toxic for us. Like, it's a lot of just being so shamelessly you. It's like, you have to get to points like, fuck, I am like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the difference between, like, being entitled of my toxicity versus feeling empowered by, like, the healthy version of who I am and saying I deserve good things in my life versus the entitlement of, I'm a shitty person, so what? I can't change. I'm just to be shitty. You're like, well, you're gonna be single for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. So yeah.
Yeah, there's a weird feeling I get when I just hear people say, well, that's just how I am. And it's like, that's great. You know, who you are is great, but if you just worked on this a little bit, I'm just saying, you'd see the results. Yeah. And you know, as a dancer, especially, I think dancing has made my look on people so bad, because it's like, bro, just practice. Like, you know, if you suck at this dance, just fucking practice, bro. Like, I don't know what to tell you other than try again and again and again and again until you get it right. Yeah. And so for me, when I hear people say that's just the way I am, it's like, it's very frustrating. And that's a big red flag for me when I'm listening to somebody and they're talking about certain, you know, flaws and things that they're trying to work through, or don't, they're just saying that's just how I am. I'm like, ugh, I don't know. Like, hit me up when that changes a little bit, because I'm always trying to get better. I always want to be better.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know. That's a big one for me though.
Yeah. And I think for me, my brain thing, I'm a very nuanced person. So I always think of like the opposite ends of both of the same thing. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I understand when people say that, it's like, that's just the way I am. It's like, you know, I'm a chatty person. That's just the way I am. It's like, that's who you are. It's like, it's one thing if it's like your core traits or personality about you, understandable. But it's like, if it's negatively impacting your life and you're still saying that's just the way I am, it's like,
yeah. Benevolent versus malevolent actions. Like, if you're just chatty and you're just a bubbly person, I might not like that. Maybe I am more of an introverted guy. I want somebody I can kind of sit more and quiet with. That's one thing. That's just a starch of preference. But if, you know, every time you talk, you're disrespecting people and you're just being foul, like, that's different. You might need to work on that, champ. You might need to, you know, let's deliver information with sensitivity. You know, let's practice that. Let's practice some communication skills.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost want to say, part of me wants to, like, I'm going to manifest it and speak into the world for accountability. When I'm starting my podcast, I want to, like, almost, in a way, rebrand the idea of, like, being sensitive, because that's such a negative connotation. Like, really what we're asking is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Oversensitivity is still now becoming this like gatekept, punitive, policing people kind of framework. I'm like, no, you're just reproducing the same pain. Right? Like, really what's going to change things is from an essence and energy of like love and compassion and patience and understanding people that are different from you. I don't have to agree with it, but I have to at least understand, why do you choose these things? Why do you operate like this? And I think of the narrative of like social change and like betterment, all this stuff. There's an entitlement that the way I think is better than the way you think. So I'm going to shame you and punish you until you do it kind of thing, versus nurturing you and inspiring you to want to shift that character. It's a stronger type of change than it's a change out of inspiration versus a change out of fear.
Yeah. Yeah, to be inspired to change is always a better, to me, is always not only a healthier route, but it's the route that is going to stick compared to fear-based, you know, because once the fear is alleviated, there's no other reason to continue this course. But if you're inspired to follow this course, you find every reason to do it because you're inspired to do so, you know, so definitely for sure. You know, hey. I'm manifesting it for you, girl. I'm manifesting it for you. I hope. And I really do. If you started one today, you should have started one yesterday. But if you start one if you start one today, I'm telling you, it's going to be so successful. I see you doing really well doing one.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like if we get all comments like that, I'm like, you're really pressuring me to start this. This is a call in to start this thing. Yeah.
Yes, it's a call from the universe, and I would love to do, you know, I would love to do whatever I could to support it. Like I'm telling you, from just watching those few clips, I was like, yo, she's got something for this. And then just knowing you from working back in the day and shit, man, like good person, good soul, and I'd really like to see you win at it. Like that, it'd be really tight.
Thank you. That means a lot, because I've definitely a lot of self-doubting to get to this point, to be like, do I have enough balls and gumption to start a podcast?
You do.
I think I get lost because I feel like everyone, what made me hesitate so hard for so long, like the YouTuber podcast content creation space, is like everyone's trying to be a something. Everyone's trying to catch your 2 seconds of fame. I'm the exact like demographic of people that I can see people pigeonholing me into like, she's just trying to catch fame. She's just like, you know, those type of content creator influencers, pusha, you know. And I've come to terms, like, I've tried to dodge this path as many times, and I realize it's like, okay, I think this is like naturally what I do anyway, paid or unpaid. Like, I might as well lean into it and just see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? So,
paid or unpaid, I would still do this. I do not get paid to do this fucking shit. I love to do it. And it's just been fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like that old saying, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So why not try it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Jazz, just do it. You got this.
It's the scarcity versus abundance mindset. And I'm like, okay, you can do this. Put your boots in. You got this. All of that.
Oh my God. Well, if there's anything that you would like to leave the podcast with before we go ahead and sign off, please let them know.
Yes. I don't really have much right now. I'm going to perform a whacking piece in Chicago. I feel like most people are in LA though, but I'm like, hey, we're going to be at Carnival. Little whacking piece.
Ooh, Carnival Chicago.
Carnival Chicago. Actually, my first carnival was actually in Chicago, not in LA, which is hilarious to me. Because I always do on a Thursday. It's like such a random day to me.
Yeah.
And the by the time I hear about it, it's in like people's posts after the show. I'm like, wait, what? There's a carnival in the first place. So that, I guess I'm starting up our podcast. If it comes through, I'll holler at you. And I'm just trying to get into production and live stream production spaces. I think I'm just trying to really delve into freelancing entrepreneurial life and take the jump instead of always trying to find the bag where it stops me from doing what I want and it takes time away from doing what I want. Let me just jump full force into it and see where it goes, type of thing. So, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, the wonderful, powerful Jasmine Lee, thank you for coming on to the smoking section. I hope we get to do another episode.
You call it smoking section?
It's the smoking section.
That's funny. I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. The smoking section with your host, Big Corpse, the one and only.
That is, I'm learning all the branding names, the taglines.
Yep. No, we've been doing this for, just over 2.5 years now. So it was Friday's Food for Thoughts, and then it turned into the smoking section.
Oh, wow.
And then the smoking section hosts the usual Tuesday podcast that I do with two of my buddies. And so it's been having some fun.
That's fun. I love podcasts. You. Thank you
for coming on to the show. Your insight is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you too. It's so nice catching up with you and seeing you again. Like, it just brings back all the nostalgia back
in the day,
Central Coast area. Yeah,
it was so fun.
I'm actually gonna be in LA end of May, top of June. So if you happen to drop by LA, hit me up.
All right, we'll be in touch. All right, Jess.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, everybody.
Deuces.